Welcome back to Accounts 2.0. I'm Steve Purbridge, and with me is, as always, is Ted Williamson. Today, step six, provide value-added services as bolt-ons to proposals. Ted, this is right in line with Accounts 2.0 strategy for new age accountants. And I know that one of the things that attracted me to even working with Accounts 2.0 is our strategies for creative use of bolt-on services stuff. Can you elaborate a little more, Ted?
Yeah, so the idea is that you can do more for your clients and offer more for your clients without doing more for your clients, right? So you can be the go-to for, you know, a lot of things that they're looking for. We have talked about niching. That's important. And so building not just your tech stack around that or the specific services that you provide, but what services are they offering is also important, because if you're not going to offer it, they're going to find somebody who does offer it. And who's to say that they end up moving over to them, right? So we want to make sure that we're not only protecting the clients that we do have, but we want to actually offer value to them, and by offering, but not hurting ourselves in the process, right? So not creating a situation where we have to service all of these different product lines and all these different services, where we don't maybe fully understand them. We're a big proponent of being a specialist, not a generalist, but to still be able to offer generalist services. So it doesn't mean that you have to be doing them, but the client knows that they go to you to get them. So that is kind of what we're talking about here.
Okay. So for value-added services, what kind of advisory services would you suggest to provide if I was a new age accountant or a bookkeeper? And obviously that might be slightly different. What kind of advisory service would be, I guess, appropriate?
So, I mean, bookkeepers and accountants, a lot of them, you know, the big thing are advise. You know, the biggest, I think, growing area in the accounting industry right now is advisory CFO services, because of the automation of accounting, the AIs, you know, eventually going to take over the world, especially the accounting world and legal and everything else, right? Which I don't think that's actually true. There's always opportunities. But part of that is that a lot of people are moving into advisory also because there's a lot more money in advisory, right? So there's a lot, you can get more of what you're worth in a way, because you have all this expertise and all this knowledge that people want, or you know people who have all this expertise and knowledge, again, offering bolt-on services. And so you're able to offer a better solution to your clients and able to walk them through actually growing and solving their problems. Now, you don't have to do this yourself, because not everybody is an advisor. Not everybody has all the expertise to do that. So advisory is big in both worlds, the bookkeeping and the accounting. But I would kind of argue that accountants actually see a lot of the higher level type stuff that bookkeepers don't usually see. The bookkeepers see a lot of the ground on the ground numbers, right? Like day in, day out, what's happening. So they can see trends really, really well of what's happening on a daily basis. And so that's really good. So depending on the type of client, depends on who should be servicing them. So you might be a bookkeeper servicing landscapers, or maybe a specialty type of landscaper. And you are good to advise those people. So now this accountant is also servicing landscapers, but they don't have that level of knowledge that the bookkeeper has on the daily transactions and really into the minutia of it all. They understand how they're going to make their financial decisions, things like that, like more of that CFO stuff or less of strategic stuff. And so they are going to, you can form a partnership, an advisory package, where the accountant can deal with the CFO level type of stuff, and the bookkeeper can deal with the strategic type stuff, and then you can kind of work together. You're able to offer a complete advisory service. complete bookkeeping and accounting service for this landscaper. Regardless of who is the one selling the job, you work together in order for them to get it. They benefit either way, right? So that's one example of advisory. There's multiple types of different advisory, like the financial advisor, strategic advisory, like I was just talking about. And I'm not saying that a bookkeeper or an accountant is better to do it either way. I'm just using it as an example.
Right? You mentioned the virtual CFO. What does a virtual CFO do? A lot of people, I do see it a lot online, and people will have the questions that come up. This being promoted as something that's great, but what now? Obviously, for a bookkeeper, cash flow reports and forecasting and planning reports and some analysis and interpretation of that are fine. That's easy to understand. What does a CFO do? That sounds like something that would only be useful to a large corporation.
Well, it is useful. So I find that anybody, I mean, it doesn't have to be a large corporation. If you're over $250,000 of revenue, I mean, it depends on your profitability as a business, like not you, but your client's profitability as to whether or not it makes sense. How much are you going to be able to move the needle for them? Because obviously you don't want to provide CFO services for somebody, and you're going to charge them $30,000 a year, and you're not going to impact them $30,000. It makes no sense. So really, you can be a smaller company as long as your impact is going to be there for them.
So if I'm spending $30,000 a year on a virtual CFO, what services do they provide that will get me more than $30,000 in return?
So, well, there's a lot of different things. So tax planning is one thing. I mean, tax planning is a normal thing, but you can, create strategy on tax planning or on taxes. There's all kinds of different things. So maybe your service choices. So they might be able to do an analysis as to what products and services are actually doing well and figure out which ones to eliminate. There's a whole bunch of stuff, and I really don't want to get too deep into the CFO services specifically, because that can actually be a whole subject.
Well, actually,
so I just kind of want to get into value added.
It's a good segue, Ted, because we do interact with several virtual CFOs, and we would love to have one or two as a guest over the coming podcasts, and they can get right into specifics and scenarios and cases that would impart upon us for that. But thank you. That gives our listeners and viewers just an idea of there is a significant gains be gotten by retaining the expertise of a virtual CFO, of course.
Well, a lot of it's like putting, where do you put your money? What do you spend your money on? All that kind of stuff, right? So there's a million things. Yes. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's a big subject.
Right. And getting back to just at the bookkeeping level, or any type of reporting service, as an added reporting service, just saying we'll make reports or some kind of custom report and just do it for you. One thing that is of value is the analysis of the report. So if there's going to be, say you're in light manufacturing or the trades, a cash flow report on a weekly or biweekly basis is very useful. Assuming that the transactions are being captured properly during that time,
And assuming the client actually knows what they're looking at too.
So. Well, then that's the thing. The interpretation or the breakdown in that report should be added with it. In other words, saying watch your spending on this, or this is going past the threshold, or we're noticing a pattern of your fuel consumption's up. That kind of stuff. It might not just be a price change in fuel. It could be that one of the employees is working on a side job, and now you know those are the.
That happens.
It does happen, especially in the trade. So then, but these are the types of things that are the real value added of a bolt-on service. Saying, hey, we'll have a custom cash flow report that's specifically watching certain stuff, and we can give you feedback. Matter of fact, you could tie it into notifications so that. With our platforms, it's not out of line to say as soon as fuel consumption goes over a certain point, you get a text or an email. It's possible, and those things can be configured. So, tell me about white label services. When you're partnering with niche experts or in terms of bolt-on services, what does white label services mean?
So white label service is where you are actually selling a service under your brand, but somebody else is performing the work or doing it. So the example I was giving about like the bookkeeper accountant, that can be two different things. You can have the bookkeeper and the accountant work together, and the client. So you're just saying, hey, I'm going to bring in this bookkeeper to do this work for you. We're going to work together and we're going to get this done. Or as you could say as an accountant, this bookkeeping work is going to get done. It's going to be part of your proposal. And it's going to be part of the project, you know, on top of all your tax planning and on top of your filings and analysis. So, but you actually still hire that bookkeeper, but you're the one that interacts with that client. You're the one who is selling that as your own service and then giving that to them. So another example, what's pretty big, is business valuation. So a lot, you know, when you're getting into larger companies as well, more common than not, you have to actually have a business valuation every so often, whether they're, you know, doing a large asset sale or whatever it might be. There are all kinds of reasons. And so that's another specialty that not everybody has, but you might still want to give that higher level of service to those so that you can attract those larger clients. So you would work with a business valuation or business valuator, and then they would help you with the business valuation, right? In the end, they're more likely to, or that business valuator is the one who's going to be signing the contract with them, but doesn't mean that you can't be the one who works with that client on an ongoing basis as well and still actually do the sale itself. Other ones I want to look at. So if you think of there's a lot of stuff out there for grants, like tax credits, grants, things like that. And you oftentimes see emails coming all the time about all of these. So you can actually white label that. So just include that into your own services and just say, you know, grant applications and all of that can be done within your own company. So that's another example of that. And again, most of the time you just hand them off eventually. At some point you hand them off, but it's sold as a white label. You are still in charge of the client relationship. You're just not in charge of the work, if that makes sense.
Well, and that brings up the question about ease of integration and that handoff and also implementation. So say that white label service does involve some type of onboarding or a handoff and feedback. That is something that should be considered. What's your thoughts on that? Or you can't just white label anybody and just say, okay, no. Well, we're doing this business with this person and we'll just hand over the client.
It's a partnership.
Partnership agreements and processes. Yes.
Yeah. Instead of going to school to learn a whole new trade, what you do is you spend some time investing in building partnerships with people to make sure that you're in sync together, that you're going to be working for the same goals, you have the same expectations, or at least not the same expectations, but you are understanding of each other's expectations. And you're also understanding of the client's expectations and needs. So obviously you don't want to just throw together a bunch of stuff and then just hope that it works out, not considering what the client needs, and not considering the other party or your own needs. So it's definitely a partnership. You have to figure out, you have to trust each other. You have to definitely have an agreement in place. So some sort of white label agreement or any kind of agreement. So like Accountants 2.0, our actual company, we actually do marketing and sales. What we do is we white label you as bookkeepers and accountants. So we help you sell on your own brand, but we also white label you under Accountants 2.0. And bring you more sales that you don't have to work for. And that's essentially kind of what we do. And that's what you could be doing if you're selling anyway. What you could be doing is bringing in somebody else, another type of service, so that while you're in front of that client anyway, you can add value to that client with a good partner that you vetted and that you are all working towards common.
Well, that sounds great when it works. But
when it works, it doesn't always work, but
well, yeah. It's But again, agreements in place, understanding what needs to be handed over and what's coming back, and then everyone's on the same page. That way, it really is an extension of your service offering, and not an afterthought or hey, this is great, and then never pushing it forward. I notice there's a lot in my past. I've seen these arrangements come up, but then if it's not part of the plan, it really just becomes a footnote on a website and nothing really ever comes of it. So so when you're selecting these services, make sure it's part of your business plan and part of your marketing plan as well.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it doesn't just happen. You don't just say, I'm going to start selling this, and then there we go. So mm-hmm. you get the benefit of not having to build out all these processes and training people and, you know, all these new other softwares and other expenses and time commitments. You get that benefit, but you still have to spend time creating like the processes in order to implement them. So how do you onboard that partner? How do you onboard that type of service that they're doing? You have to understand that service still. So you should have a general understanding of what that service is, so you can speak to it. You know what to look for to make sure that there's quality in what your partner is doing. And basically, you need to have a good handover, so or handoff to them, make sure that everything's running smoothly for the client.
Well, that brings up the question too. Is like you say you get the attention of a service provider. Say you want to white label a virtual CFO service and have it as one of your bolt-ons. Say they're it's a consultancy or an individual who does that. So the work goes two ways, correct? Like all right, so the person has to be confident that you're going to be an effective representative of them, and also that you're actually going to bring stuff to the table. Like a nice meeting and everyone's talking how great this is, there has to be some type of next steps so that the person doing the white label service or the service is confident that there's going to be sales being made. And also, for the new age accountant doing the selling of that service, there has to be some marketing material or some precise stuff to promote. They can't just say, hey, we're going to promote you. Oh, that's great. But, you know, they have to know how that works. It makes it look seamless. It makes it look credible. And it's not just like, oh, you should use this service too. Like, you have to make it look like it is part of your service offering.
Plan your relationship.
Yeah.
And plan how you offer, how you work together, how you work with your client. You have to plan it. You can't just say, I'm going to start selling your stuff. And I say, awesome, let's do that then. And then now all of a sudden nothing gets sold, or everything gets sold and everything gets broken. Right. So there's two different things. Either they're like, yes, they say they're going to do it and they just don't do it because there's no expectation. There's no plan moving forward as how they're going to sell your stuff.
Or they can't handle the capacity. You oversell it.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is that they say, yes, I'm going to offer this right away. And then they're good at marketing that kind of thing, but then the process is broken, and then they bring you, let's say you're the person who's doing the work, you're overrun with all this work and mm-hmm. you can't keep up, or you're getting the wrong clients. You have to have an expectation as to what clients are we working with, right? So yes, we're going to partner together, but I only want to work with marijuana manufacturers or something, or restaurants or something like that. And then they start bringing you landscapers. I always bring up landscapers because that was my first business. So you're going to see that's pretty common. But,
and they usually need a lot of tax help.
They do. They need a lot of help.
It's all those expenses.
And they're usually, and so many of them are usually not as knowledgeable in tax, bookkeeping, accounting, things like that, right? So
they still do the shoebox.
Shoeboxers.
Yeah. The shoeboxers.
And again, it's we've been there. So that's kind of what that, because it was my first one. Why I always talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's got a special place in my heart, I guess. But like I said, if you're doing restaurants or if that's what you want to, who you want to be a CFO, a virtual CFO for, and they bring you landscapers, you don't understand their books as much, or the level of complexity that they don't understand. Like, so as a landscaper, they want to get the work done. They want to put things in the ground, make things beautiful. They don't want to do all the other stuff. They don't understand it. They didn't want to deal with all of that stuff at all. As we all know, I'm preaching to the choir at this point, but their level of understanding and comprehension is different than a restaurant in a lot of cases, depending on the restaurant owner, it can be the same thing, or a marijuana manufacturer or a grower, right? Because they definitely understand numbers because they're forced to by like government mandates and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, depending state. That's
so what you're saying is we have a lot of great professionals out there that are tired at the end of the day. And the last thing they want to worry about is all this compliance, forecasting work and everything. And that's why the bolt-on services that a new age accountant can offer will definitely help.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of different services. There's the grants, the virtual CFOs. You can offer a lot of stuff and you don't want, or you have a specialty service that you can offer other people. Mm-hmm. So what we want to happen in the community is for people to connect together to help each other. So not just solving problems like, hey, what's going on, you know, with this tax regulation, what's going on with QuickBooks Online, what's going on, you know, all these different things, not just staying ahead, but also working together. So by working together, you are staying ahead because you're staying ahead of somebody else taking your clients because you can offer those bolt-on services. So some other things that you also want to look at is affiliating. So not just offering white label or something like that. So you can affiliate with software companies, with legal, and to just get like referral fees or an ongoing fee. For example, if you affiliate with Accounts 2.0, we have an affiliate fee that we give people with our software, A20 Connect, to do all your all-in-one marketing. If you were to sell that to your clients, we actually give you 20% for the rest of your life. As long as you continuously, you know, promote us, that's a bonus. Some people only do affiliates and they make a ton of money. So that's another thing. I'm not just saying for us, but like you know how we just talked about 1Password. And guess what? If you buy 1Password and you use our link, we make a little bit of money. And thank you, and thank you, 1Password. So that there's nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful thing because it gets the word out about great products and services. So all these little bolt-ons, you could either offer a bolt-on within your service. So you could even say, hey, we're going to offer A20 Connect as part of your thing and we're going to bill it and then we're going to pay for it and everything else, which I don't recommend necessarily doing that with like that kind of a software because people make it change stuff up. It's just an example. Or you can just say, here is all of our stuff. And they know that they can come to you and say, I know that you understand my industry. And so I'm going to come to you because you've been able to solve all these problems. And I need a marketing, platform because I need to start growing. And then you're going to say, guess what? Here's this company, A20 Connect. They can do that. You make an affiliate fee. You've helped a client. And that's it. So I think that's another wonderful way of bolting on or creating more value for clients.
So to summarize, understand your niche, know your core service, and then picture a perfect world of all these other services you can provide, not worrying about the machinery of that, just finding the right purveyor to form a partnership with, to form that perfect package or assortment mm-hmm. of package that you can offer your client niche. And that's all Absolutely. Possible without having to go back to school to learn something specific. There's professionals out there that would affiliate relationships, through a contractual arrangements, and various other ways it's possible.
Yeah, it depends on your level of comfort, right? So mm-hmm. not everybody wants to do this, and that's fine because you don't want to worry about, you know, building relationships. In the accounting industry, as we all know, there's a very introverted. Or not everybody, but there's a lot of people are very introverted and they want to, you know, get the work done. They don't necessarily want to do the marketing, the sales, or building relationships. And so it might not be for you, but well, for those that it is.
It is for us, yeah. And we can help people that want to take advantage of it, but not have to do it all. Since we've been there, absolutely. We can do it for you. So, excellent. Well, Ted, I think we've covered this topic great. Thank you very much for enlightening us on what these services are and what they entail and some of the things that you have to do. So, everyone, until next time, this is Accountants 2.0. Join our community either on LinkedIn or Facebook. Comment and give us feedback on those channels as well as our YouTube channel. Everyone have a great day and see you next time.
And like and subscribe.
Always like and subscribe.
Awesome. Thank you.